Dallas, and everybody here knows just about that I've been under the weather. I wasn't here this morning, so I may do a little hacking around here. But I'll do my best to preach to you if the Lord will help me.
Yes, come on, come on. Hallelujah.
2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5, and then I'll be reading out of Mark chapter 5 also. Mark chapter 5 also. Glad for all of our visitors.
Yes, amen.
Yes, here on this side. And Brother Roger and his dad. I love his dad. He's the most jumpy person I've ever met in my life. I'm talking jumpy bad, isn't he, brother? Terrible.
I'm going to chip off those blocks.
He's all right. But I come in one night, he's real bad jumpy, and I come into church one night, and I didn't have to goose him. I just talked about it. And he would jump up and down to get off. One night I come walking by him in church there before church, and I just stuck my finger up like that real fast and said, "This little out of mine." He said, "I'm going to put it out." He said, "I'll never forget that. Put it out." My line out, his life, and everything else. We're glad for everybody that's here. I love the people of God.
Amen. Yes.
You hear me? I said, I love the people of God.
Yes. Amen.
That's exactly right. Amen, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5, this is what it says. Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith.
Yes.
Prove your own selves. That's 5A. I don't want 5B. That's the first sentence. That's all I want out of that right there for the time being. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves.
Amen.
Mark chapter 5 and verse number 1. What a very familiar story. They came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit.
Yes, yes.
Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains.
Amen.
Because that was just not a figure of speech. Sometimes we say stuff and it's a figure of speech. That's not a figure of speech, because he goes on, he said, because that he had been oft bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying, cutting himself with stones.
Yes.
But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him.
Yes.
And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" Even the devil's got better sense to be oneness. "I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not."
Yes.
For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered and said, "My name is Legion, for we are many."
Yes.
And in verse 15, they come to Jesus and see him. Boy, I like this wording in this verse. That was possessed with the devil.
Yes.
And had the Legion.
Yes, amen.
Sitting and clothed and in his right mind.
Yes, amen.
And then it says something that I find really strange. And they were afraid.
Yeah.
And they were afraid.
Yeah.
Lord, I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight. Thank you for this wonderful group of people. Thank you for the Spirit of God that we've already felt, Lord. The glory of God that's already been in this place. The encouragement that we've felt from the heavenly world. Asking you, God, to touch my body, touch my mind, touch my lips. Let me be a conduit of the Holy Ghost into this house. Open every heart, open every ear, God. Let the anointing fall on us all and around this altar. Give us a mighty move of the power of the Holy Ghost. Everyone said together, amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for honoring the Word of God. I want to read one more scripture to you. And right here before I really get into my message in John chapter 14 and verse number 12. Says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, and the works that I do, shall he do also. Yeah. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I didn't come up with that this evening. I didn't write that down this afternoon. The Holy Ghost said that a long time ago. Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. You ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'm going to preach tonight for a little while. And I so appreciate it. And this little fellow back here, this young man, I should say, that's kind of condescending to people his age. But this young man back here, I enjoyed his testimony tonight because, young man, I've been preaching on the Holy Ghost to this crowd almost every night. Yeah. We got a lot of people around here that's been seeking it. They're kind of like you said, just kind of doing everything they think they know to do right now, but it'll come after a while. Can you say amen? I said it'll come after a while. I may deviate a little bit tonight. I ought to preach so that the Lord would help me a little while on who are you?
Amen.
Sounds kind of dumb, don't it? Go look in the mirror and we can all know who we are.
Come on.
But who are you?
Right, amen.
In the kingdom of God.
Amen. Lord, help us.
Early this morning sometime, and I'm not going to preach on this part tonight. I'm going to save it till another night. But God began to open my eyes to some things that you are dealing with here, that you don't realize you're dealing with. The Lord started opening my eyes to some things. And God let me see a little bit. And I don't try to act super spiritual. I've done been preached here a week. Y'all know I don't get up here and try to act super spiritual all the time. But I do try to act spiritual because that's what I try to be.
Yeah.
Hello?
Right.
It's spiritual, but I'm going to tell y'all something. There's a spiritual warfare going on.
Yeah.
That if you really got a glimpse and a grasp of it, it'd probably blow your mind just a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
And I need to know who I am in the kingdom of God.
Right. Amen.
This man I read to you about, man, how many times through the years have we preached from it, heard it preached from? This man in the land of the Gadarenes, he was one of those guys if I should use the terminology of today, he was a real piece of work.
Yeah.
I don't believe that he had always been this way.
No.
I believe there had been a time probably when he had probably lived somewhat of a normal life.
Right.
And although you could argue with me on that, that's all right. Don't do it while I'm preaching. Preach it your way when it's your turn. But I kind of feel like that probably he had somewhere along the way something had transpired in his life.
Yes.
And things had begun to deteriorate.
Amen.
Now by the time that we find him here in the land of the Gadarenes, he is a man that has been living in the tombs. Now, I was raised in the country. Y'all have already understood by my preaching that I'm a country boy. You understand that. And I'm glad y'all's right here because there's people that need y'all. But this would drive me crazy living here. I'm just sorry about that. I couldn't do it. There's too many cars going around and too many people. Hallelujah. And walk around with a shirt on that says no fear, or if you're a redneck, it says you ain't scared. But I'm not one of those guys that walk around with one of them on, because everybody's afraid of something at the end of the day. And, but I've really never been afraid of the dark. It's not been something that bothered me. And I've not even been afraid there that the church there at Jersey, beside the church, there's a graveyard. And there was lots of times when I was dealing with stuff and was burning in the middle of the night. There's been lots of times I wandered out through the graveyard praying that it never bothered me.
Right.
Dead people never was my problem. It was alive ones that was driving me crazy. And so it wasn't the dead folks out there. They never was giving me any sort of problem. And you know, I walk among the tombs and among the graves out there, and I pray and talk to God, and I never was scared, and there wasn't nothing ever come out from under one of them gravestones or out from behind them. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. When you want to live there, you got a problem. A business, one thing. But living there, you got trouble. This man had taken up his abode living among the tombs. He had a bad, bad problem. What his problem was is he was possessed by an unclean spirit. There must have been times, reading into this story, there must have been times when he was more docile than at others. There must have been times when he was about halfway to himself. There must have been times when these spirits didn't tear him as they did at other times. Because they would find ways every once in a while. They would go on a charity kick in town. And they would decide, we're going to help that guy.
Right? Yes.
We're going to get him and we're going to bring him to town and we're going to get him some help.
Yeah.
So they'd go out and they would find him, and for some reason he wouldn't be so wild at that time. I don't know how they would do it. Maybe they would talk to him, coax him. Whatever they would do, they would get him and they would bring him into town. And they would get him. Now they was afraid of him. And so they would bind him up. And then they'd call him the psychiatrist. And they'd say, y'all need to come work on this guy. Let's find out what his trouble is. Let's go back into his childhood. Let's find out who messed with him somewhere. And let's find out what his real trouble is. We'll try to help him here if we can. And boy, they'd go to work on him. And boy, they'd start thinking they was doing some good. And therefore, they'd be making some headway. And he'd be all right for a few days, it seemed like. And they had him bound up, and they're trying to get him some help. And we're going to get him straightened out. And we got a 12-step program we're going to put him through. And it's going to get him all fixed up. And then we caught him the next time. We got a 7-step program. That's going to fix him up. Listen, y'all. I'm going to tell you the only step program that will help anybody. How many steps it is from their pew to the altar. It's about the only help anybody's going to get. Now, I'm not against AA, and I'm not against a drug trial or a rehab in its own place, but that will not bring deliverance to a man or a woman. There's only one thing that can deliver them, and that's the power of Almighty God and the blood of Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen. You can't do it. I can't do it. I turn it over a new leaf and decide you're going to do better. That will not do it. But I'm going to tell you, I know somebody in one trip to an old-fashioned altar. I can fix you up. I clean you out. I dry up your veins. Somebody say amen. Hey, brother, what the world needs today is Jesus. We don't need another program. We need a Holy Ghost revival. I said we don't need another program. We need a Holy Ghost revival. All of a sudden there, I'll never forget it. I was driving down the road, or riding down the road one day with a good friend of mine. And we were driving out of Oklahoma to Arkansas. And he told me, he said, we're fixing it. We go to this corner up here, he said, look over at this house in the left. He said, there'll probably be a man out there. He said, there's absolutely no telling what you're liable to see. He said, sometimes I come along and he's naked as the day he's born, standing out in his front yard. Sometimes he has ladies' underclothes on, mowing the yard. Sometimes he's in all kinds of states of different arrays that you never know what you're going to see. That day we came around the corner, that man was standing on his porch, leaned up against the porch rail, naked as the day he was born. And we drove by, and I'll never forget what that preacher friend of mine said. He said, those spirits are carrying him today. He's not in control of his own self. Those spirits are tearing him today. Hey, there would come a moment in a time all of a sudden they'd be thinking they was making headway, and all of a sudden this man's eyes would bug out of his head and a scream out of hell would roll out of his lips, and all the doctors and the psychiatrists and the helpers, everybody would hit the door running, and he'd get up out of there by a supernatural power. You were talking about the first Incredible Hulk. Here it was. He stood up out there. Hallelujah. Broke loose from those chains. Eyes had bug out. And he'd go running down the road right back to the tombs where he came out of. I want to tell y'all something. I don't know about y'all, but I've got pretty sick a good while ago of people coming to our services, coming to the altar and praying a little while and leaving and not lasting but about a week, and they're right back in the same mess they came out of. There's a problem somewhere, brother, and I'm afraid it's not with them. I'm afraid it's with the church. We don't realize who we are, and we don't realize we have power. I said we have power over the enemy. Hey, y'all. It would surprise y'all how many people get offended when I get to preaching and downplay the power of the enemy. It actually offends Brother Sapp, church people, when I start talking about our power over the enemy. You know why it does? Because they don't realize who they are. Hey, listen to me. Jesus said, I want to set the record straight. I have all power in heaven and in earth. Oh, somebody ought to say amen. Hey, brother. I'm starting to feel like preaching now. I don't care what Kenneth Hagin says or Copeland or whichever one it was. He said every time, I heard him say it, he said every time that God enters into this atmosphere, he must ask permission of the devil, because he made the devil the prince and the power of the air. I'm sorry, I couldn't listen to that. I said God's never asked permission of the devil to do anything. Y'all ought to hear me here. Matter of fact, if I read Job right, it's the other way around. The devil has to ask permission before he can do anything. I tell you, sometimes I'm the church of the living God. Quit backing up all the time and realizes who we are and understands we got victory over the enemy, and the world can't do us any harm. His problem was, he had some chains that were unseen that he could not break loose. He could break the visible ones, but it was those invisible ones that had him bound where he could not get loose. They would finally, I feel like, probably, that the community had finally shrugged their shoulders and said, our efforts of charity and help are never going to work. He's beyond any kind of help. I believe, I need to preach to you tonight. I believe deep down somewhere he wanted help. I believe there's a line in here that lets us know that. I also believe several things. I believe there used to be a good road that ran out by the graveyard, but there was grass growing up in it now, because nobody wanted to go by there and see the sights and hear the screams. I believe when the children acted up, and when they couldn't couldn't hardly do nothing with them. That mama would say, if you don't straighten up, we're going to take you out there to the graveyard. Everybody straighten up. Everybody shut up. Oh, y'all might as well help me here a little bit. Human nature hadn't changed much, I don't believe. Hey, listen. But the Bible said there was something going on out there in that graveyard. Listen to this. And crying day and night. He was crying out there. I believe there was something inside of him. He didn't want to live out there. He didn't want to be like that. He wanted to go home to his family. And he was a crying. I would that God would open the ears of this church tonight. I believe you'd hear people crying all around here. They look like they don't want anything to do with this. But when they lay their head on their pillow at night, they're a crying out for some kind of help. They want somebody to help them. Hey, listen, brother and sister. We need a revival of the Holy Ghost that will open our ears to the cry of the wounded that are in this world.
Crying.
Yeah.
He didn't just do that. He was crying. He was cutting himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
We're living in a day and age. Come on here now.
Come on.
I was in a Walmart not long back. I heard a child, a little baby, screaming bloody murder. I walked back. You know, I mean, you know, you hear kids crying, scream, throw a fit. You try to get away from that, but when you hear a child that is small, that is crying out of pain, you kind of go on and see what's going on. And I walked over there and looked. And this little bitty baby, probably not much more, probably not as big as your littlest child. They was piercing its ears. They was cutting it. I need to preach to y'all a little while tonight. Don't you back up on me. Hey, I had to get out there. I said I had to get out there. I spent a lot of mama's wheels out. Right there I had to just leave. It was the best thing for me to do to get out of here. I'm going to tell you something. All this body piercing business that's going on in America today, it's the devil has got loose in America. And the Bible said, don't you do that like the heathen does it. Don't you cut yourself like that. I'm going to tell you, it's a spirit that's got loose in this world. I said, it's a spirit. Somebody ought to hear me. It's a spirit that's got loose in this world. But I got good news. God delivers. I said, God delivers from those kind of spirits. Somebody ought to say amen. I don't care what's happened. You've done. I got good news for you. I know a man that can change everything in your life. Two guys in front of him had a big old gold ring in his nose. I mean a big one. Thing hanging down across his lip, hanging through his nose. I done checked him out. Hallelujah. Problem was, he was checking me out like there was something wrong with me. I thought everything was fine. The guy in between me and him, we was checking out at a Pizza Hut. The guy in between me and him said, hey dude, does that hurt? He said, he couldn't even talk plain. Big old thing hanging down over his lip. He said, oh no, man, it don't feel bad at all. You don't even know it's there. I said, that's all I can handle. I said, hey buddy, we do that to the pigs on the farm. Keeps them from rooting in the dirt. I said, there ain't going to be no fight. I'm going to get a hold of that ring and there ain't going to be no fight going on. Hey, come on here now. Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? This world is going absolutely nuts.
I remember this. He had never seen Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
He'd never seen Jesus. He didn't know who Jesus was.
No.
But those spirits in him knew exactly who that was.
Yeah.
On that little boat.
Yeah.
He had sat up there in the tombs crying and cutting himself a long time.
Right.
He was a pitiful sight.
Right.
Hello?
Yeah.
He didn't have his clothes on.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. He didn't want cold.
Yeah. Right.
He was cutting himself.
Yeah.
He was a mutilated mess. He is sitting up there. He had seen a lot of little ships come across that sea.
Yeah.
But he had never seen one come across that had anybody like that in it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, something inside of him jumped up, kicked him in the ribs, and he jumped straight up in the air. And before he knew what was happening, he ran off beside that hill. Didn't even know why he was doing it. You gotta understand, he don't know who that is. But what was inside of him then, and runs and falls down at the gate. Anytime ever anybody ever tells you that the devil is stronger than God, you just look at them and remind them, every knee is going to bow. In heaven and in earth, and the things under the earth, y'all ain't feeling what I am. The face of church, it's not a time for the church to back up. It's a time for us to rise up and realize that we've got the power in the name of Jesus. I said we've got the power over the enemy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Yes,
Jesus. Jesus. Worship.
Worship.
Begin to worship.
Yes, thank God. Thank God.
Knew exactly who he was.
Oh, yes.
Woo! Knew exactly what he was capable of.
Right.
Yes. Jesus, thou Son of God, torment us not.
Right.
They knew who had the power in that situation. They didn't say, let's talk about it. Let's have a little truce here. Let's have a ceasefire. Let's parley. Y'all might as well hear me now. Are you hearing me? Hey. And they said, hey, just don't torment us. Right, they knew he had the power with the spoken word to banish them completely out of this world. Then why is it when people come to the altar, we look at the outside and say they're helpless or they're hopeless? You're wrong, brother. A God inside of them will change up a flame on the outside of them. When we run into spiritual warfare, we become the kindest people alive. You know what kind people do? Prefer their brother. Oh yeah. We become the kindest folks around. We just let everybody else do it here. Let's just be polite.
Come on, come on.
It's because we don't understand.
Come on,
for months now, the Spirit of God has been prompting me almost everywhere I go to preach along these lines. Huh? Because we are in spiritual warfare that we have no idea hardly what's going on. We're so caught up in the little petty things in our own little world that we cannot see the big picture. Somebody ought to hear this preacher. We're so sidetracked with all kinds of other stuff that the devil doesn't have to work.
Amen. Come on. Hallelujah.
I'm fixing to say, are you recording this, brother? Turn it off for a minute. Tell me when you got to the revival where we shut the devil up. I said, it's about time, my God,
We have a revival that shuts the devil up, and he realizes they're on, not on the defensive anymore. They're on the offensive. They're coming to take some pen away from me.
Amen. Yes, thank God. Thank God.
See, before you can do that, you got to know who you are.
Yes, amen. Oh, thank God, thank God.
Brother Gene Callicott's a good friend of mine. He's an old preacher out of Richmond, Indiana. Originally out of Arkansas years ago. Good personal friends with A.A. Allen, Jack Cole. Those men.